As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So here's the good thing. We have experience doing this thing. The Wizards have won 7 out of 8 games, and fortunately, for myself and today's guest, we have experience evaluating whether a 7 out of 8 streak from the 2020-21 Wizards is a real thing or a total mirage. So they won 7 out of 8 in February. Then they lost 7 out of 8 in their next 8. Fortunately, I have a guy who's never lost 7 out of 8 in his life on the other Skype line. And it's Ben Standig once again.
I don't think you're that familiar with my dating life, but anyway, I appreciate the compliment. How are we doing today?
Hey, if you can get 8 dates in today's COVID crazy world, I think that's an accomplishment on its own.
Well, yeah, the pandemic life has altered many things about my life. Not that my dating life was exactly robust before, but in any event, instead of talking about that craziest, we should marry up the Wizards in the playoffs, right? Because clearly that is like looking like a thing.
Oh, it's a thing. I don't care how you define thing. It's been a thing for a little bit. Now it's kind of it's been a thing all year because the Wizards say it's a thing. And because the NBA decided that they're going to let 67% of its teams into some sort of postseason. We can argue whether the play-in tournament is the playoffs or not, but it's certainly the postseason because it's after the season. It is the postseason. And the NBA has decided they're going to allow 2/3 of the teams into the postseason. The Wizards right now, as of the time we're recording this, which is Tuesday morning, the Wizards are 24-33. They just beat the Thunder last night. They are tied with Chicago for 10th place in the Eastern Conference. I really just refuse to call it the 10 seed. The 10 seed is ridiculous terminology. It's not the 10 seed. There are 8 seeds. It is 10th place. They are tied for 10th place. This is the hill I'm willing to die on. They are tied for 10th place with Chicago at 24-33. Toronto is only a half a game back in them at 24-34. They're actually only a couple of games back of Indiana, who has been struggling lately, has not been playing great basketball, and just lost Miles Turner. Chicago, meanwhile, has Zach LaVine in the health and safety protocols for another week or so. That's obviously a huge loss for them. The Wizards have one of the easiest remaining strengths of schedule in the league. Benjamin, how do you see this? How do you see this unfolding?
I mean, look, so much of what happens in sports, there's so much luck involved that we all ignore, you know, and it's why, like, to define anybody as like winning, you know, whether they win or don't win a title in certain ways or, you know, make finals or things like that is not always like completely accurate. You have to look at the whole picture. That's why I always say in sports, the goal, if you're a smart team, the goal definitively isn't to win the title. It's to put yourself in position every year to win the title. And then you just hope the breaks are going your way. Now, making the 10 seed is not the same as winning the title. But look at like what's happening in front of the Wizards. The Chicago Bulls, they picked it up a little bit the last couple of games, but they've had a big letdown. after making the big Vucevic trade, and then Zach LaVine goes in the protocol. The Indiana Pacers, what did I just see? Miles Turner is dealing with a foot issue. Is that what I saw? So he's out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte loses Gordon Hayward for a little bit, and they already had lost LaMelo Ball, so they're taking a hit. Like, all these things are happening in front of Washington at the point the Wizards are the healthiest they've more or less have been, you know, pretty much all season, right? Westbrook is playing at a really high level. Obviously, Beal's doing what Beal does, and this random center rotation is doing a lot. It is trending in very positive ways, and obviously, and also like, look at the schedule. Like, we can say, well, like, I mean, they've beaten some good teams during this stretch, but like right now, including the Thunder game last night, they're playing some teams that are at the bottom. But eventually, that's how the schedule works. You play teams that are good and you play teams that are bad. By the way, I have a serious question, and I'm not joking when I ask you this. We always say about, like, if an NBA team play, you know, like when there's like a really good Kentucky team, we say Kentucky could beat whoever the bad team in the NBA is right now. Serious question. If the Wizards played Gonzaga, the Gonzaga team that just lost in the national title game that was undefeated going into that, would the spread be any worse than 12.5 that we saw last night with the Thunder? But I'm serious, because I looked at that Thunder lineup and I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. At least on the NBA level. Like, I've heard of some of the names, but there were no NBA players, proven NBA players, in that game for the most part.
I mean, maybe no, it's wild. They're sitting everybody. You know what's a crazy stat? They traded Russ less than 2 years ago, and there is nobody left on that team who was a teammate of his in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. I mean, seriously, like, the Gonzaga team would have the guy, Jalen Suggs, who's coming out in the draft, who might be the number two pick in the draft, and they have multiple other players who are projected to be first-round picks. I think all those players, if you had the Gonzaga players and the OKC players, the Gonzaga guys would get picked first. Anyway, it was just wild to see that the Wizards were favored by 12.5. Of course, they also didn't cover, but that's separate. Anyway, I just thought that was wild. That I've never seen an NBA lineup look like that before.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of the Hinkie 76ers, what they're doing right now, because they're just flat out sitting. They traded everybody, and then they're just flat out sitting Al Horford. They're just healthy scratching Al Horford. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not in the lineup. Lu Dort is not in the lineup. They've got good young talent on that roster, actually. Not other than Gilgeous-Alexander, there are no great up-and-coming players, but Dort's going to be really good. Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be freaking great. He is going to be spectacular. That guy is already a wildly efficient scorer. The efficiency numbers on him are outrageous for someone who averages 20-plus a game.
By the way, to the audience, I very apologize. I got the former Thunder beat writer to go down a Thunder path and discuss the team. My apologies. I'm sorry.
But no, it's crazy watching them and just seeing that they have no one. And you know what? The Wizards have them twice in a week. That's why you got to be thinking, like, this team could do something. By do something, I mean get into the play-in tournament. Can we do a game that we did 2 years ago and that you fared very well on? You're always good at stuff like this.
Oh, boy.
Can I just go through the schedule and have you guess? Have you guess? Just tell me if you think this is a win or not, all right?
Deal.
So the Wizards have 15 games remaining, right? 15?
Yes.
I'm going to say it's 15. All right.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, we did this on this podcast, and somebody went back and listened to it on Reddit and pointed out that you got like some, I don't remember the number, but it was some outrageous consecutive amount of games correct to start. And you came very close to predicting the entire remainder of the season correctly. So you do this to yourself. All right, Wednesday, fans return. Steph Curry, who apparently cannot score fewer than 40 points in a game, he arrives. All right, Wednesday, Golden State, at home.
I mean, you have to start me off with, like, the really tough one. I mean, you're playing against the hottest player on the planet, against a team that is, you know, is this real or whatever? Screw it. I'm going with the Wizards. Beal, not that Beal and Westbrook need motivation, But I think both of them will be highly motivated against Curry. And it's not like Golden State is actually really good right now. Curry's just playing at a high level. So screw it. Let's go Wizards.
Yeah, exactly. Curry is making these games close when they shouldn't be close. And that's basically what's happening. I'm with you. It's in Washington, too. So, all right. At Oklahoma City.
You know, I'll go Washington based on what we just saw. Unless Oklahoma City gets Durant back, we'll go Washington.
Home for Cleveland.
I mean, this is getting crazy. I mean,
yes, it is. This is the point of this exercise.
Yeah, I'll go Washington.
Home for San Antonio, who is reeling.
I can't remember. Is this? Oh, that's in San Antonio. The streak. You said this game is here. Wait, the game is in San Antonio or here?
It's in DC.
All right, I'm gonna have to at some point here pull the plug on something. So I'll go the Spurs just based on some level of, like, you know, the Spurs always sort of beat everybody. So give me the Spurs, but like you said, they're not exactly playing well.
No, they're playing quite poorly right now. And then you got home for the Lakers, who don't have LeBron and don't have AD.
Yeah. I'll go with the Wizards. I mean, they, you know, it makes no sense. And if you're telling me both of those guys are still out, they did beat them earlier. But regardless of that, that's the type of game I can see these guys getting up for. So,
at Cleveland. I'm giving it the win already based on that laugh. So that means you're predicting they win. I'm stopping the exercise here. But that means you're predicting they win 5 out of their next 6. And the only reason that you're predicting a loss in the extra one is because you feel ridiculous predicting them to win 11 in a row, as would I. So they're going to lose to someone in there, maybe a couple, maybe more than a couple. The point is, they could be the favorites in the next 6 games. They've already won 5 in a row. They're 24-33. Chicago is not going to be favorites in its next 6 games. And by the way, the games after that are not crazy. They luck out, where their schedule is already easy, and they're potentially getting, you know, the Lakers when they're missing their 2 star guys. After that, they're in Dallas. That's not an easy game. They got home for Indiana. Indiana's sub 500 right now. They got at Milwaukee, which is obviously tough. Toronto, who is, you know, kind of tanking. Indiana, who is not, you know, like I said, sub 500. A couple games against Atlanta, who's playing very well. And then you close out the season against Cleveland, and in what could be a meaningful game for both teams, they finish out the season against Charlotte. And that is a doable schedule. You want to make the playoffs? Go crazy with that schedule. I mean, you're not really going to have a better situation than that, especially with some of the teams that you're matching up against. Like, the circumstances of some of the teams you're matching up against, where San Antonio has been struggling and the Lakers have been hurt. They're in a playoff situation, Ben. Who would have? I'm going to call it a situation. We called it a thing to start off. It's a situation now. Very, very strange. I want to go through some of the notables. So I'm putting you on the spot. So they've won 7 out of 8. They won 5 straight. And one of the things I want to do is I just kind of want us each to pick out a couple of notables from the 7 out of 8 streak. And since I'm putting you on the spot and allowed you to do exactly 0 preparation for this, I will go first. I have a story up on The Athletic DC today, which, by the way, if you're not a subscriber, you can go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. You can sign up. You can get a subscription for $3.99 a month. That's it. I promise it's a good deal, and it gets you full access for everything, not just Wizards After Dark. It gets you my content, Ben's content, NBA, MLB. Like I always say, you can get all of that stuff. You can get every single article, every podcast that's put up on The Athletic ad-free if you go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. And all of that content includes my story from this morning on Daniel Gafford, who has been a revelation. And I know it's been 8 games of 17 minutes a game, but I don't know, man. You watch Daniel Gafford, and it just passes the eye test. This feels real. His chemistry with a good point guard, which he never really had in Chicago. You know, I like Kobe White as a player. I think he's going to have a nice career, but I don't think he's a point guard. I think he's, you know, a six-man instant offense scorer. I think that's Kobe White's future. You know, I think they've kind of struggled to have a true point guard out there. You know, Zach LaVine is obviously an all-star caliber player. I've said on this podcast he was a deserving all-star this year, but he's not Westbrook and Beal in terms of his facilitating prowess. And putting Gafford, especially with Westbrook, it's been kind of crazy. And his defense has been good. His fouling is way down from what it was in Chicago. And you just see it, and it makes sense. He's not trying to dunk everything anymore like he did when he first came into the league last year. He's using kind of crafty little moves around the rim when he needs to and then throwing down lobs at other moments. It's just, I mean, it really, you know, we talked about it as being, you know, Gafford having nice potential at the time and, you know, let's see what happens. And we really more talked about Troy Brown as being the angle of the trade, right? And just kind of the developmental issues with Troy Brown's 2.5 years in D.C. And to us, at least on the podcast, I think that was kind of more the angle with which we saw the trade. And I think it's impossible to see it that way right now. And Troy Brown's been pretty good in Chicago, but I think it's pretty impossible to see it any other way with the way that Gafford is playing as, man, the Wizards really might have something in him. He looks great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, there's random reasons we all latch on to different players. I mean, and Gafford was a guy that, going back to the draft where he entered the league, like I had heard that there were teams that were looking at him in the first round and had written about him a little bit and was paying attention to him and all that. And so I sort of been tracking him. And when I watched him play in Chicago, it just looked like the guy we're kind of seeing now. But, you know, I wasn't exactly paying much attention to the Bulls. And, you know, it wasn't like he had been progressing into some sort of an all-star level player, but just it always seemed like an energy guy. So when they made the trade, I was like, oh, well, you know, I wonder what's going on. Like, what did the Bulls not love? I understood they just got Vucevic, so they didn't necessarily need another center. But at the same time, you don't just give up on somebody like that. Now, granted, Troy Brown was the 15th pick not that long ago, and there's reasons to be optimistic about him. As we've discussed here, it feels like the Wizards just never figured out how to get the most out of him, and maybe another team thinks, hey, we can do that. So I get why you would want Troy Brown or be willing, but just there to give up an athletic young big who does the things that Gafford does really just seems crazy. And yeah, he's made a massive difference. I mean, it isn't the number one reason why they've won all these games, but I think they've only lost one game with him in the lineup. He missed a couple with the injury. It's been wildly impressive. And just like seeing his energy out there on the court, you know, especially going up there with Brad and Russ. I mean, it just gives them a different look. And, you know, coming off the bench, it's huge. I mean, there's no argument there that it's this pickup is, you know, I joked the other day, like I'm already debating where this ranks among the best Wizards Bullets trades of all time. And jokes aside, it's a good one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So here's a crazy stat from my story from this morning on him, which I assume you haven't read, both because, you know, I don't think you sit around reading my work, because I give you phone calls and tell you everything I'm writing about anyway. And secondly, because it just went up an hour ago. But listen to this one. So Gafford has played only 8 games with the Wizards. And this is kind of the connection that he and Westbrook have right away. And Westbrook runs those bench units, so they're on the floor together a decent amount. Gafford has played only 8 games in D.C., and Westbrook is only 4 assists away from assisting him on more baskets than any Bulls player did during his entire time in Chicago.
Yeah, that's a pretty bizarre stat, to say the least.
Talk about Westbrook's already assisted him 17 times, and no Bulls player assisted him more than 21. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Like, you know, a guy like that looks different when you put a facilitator next to him. Now, I'll say, and when I say a guy like that, I mean a player of that style, your rim diving big man. He just looks different when you put a guy, a competent point guard who can throw him lobs. Just changes the way he plays. I remember when DeAndre Jordan got Chris Paul, he became a first team All-NBA center. Not saying Gafford is a first team All-NBA center. That was crazy that DeAndre Jordan made first team All-NBA. Like, centers were so down then. It's wild that DeAndre Jordan ended up making All-NBA first team. But what I'm saying is you put a really good point guard with a guy like that and he can make him look good. And Westbrook's been playing, you know, I didn't think he played well against the Thunder at all. I thought he had his worst game in a while. But in general, he's been very good lately. And he and Gafford have a nice connection. You know, Beal talks all the time about how he hasn't had a lob threat like Gafford before. But, you know, Westbrook hasn't really either. You know, he had Capella for a brief period, and then they traded Capella. He hasn't really had Capella for – he didn't really have him for meaningful basketball. You know, Steven Adams could throw down lobs, young Steven Adams, but he was never like this. He had Kendrick Perkins. He's never really had this. So I think he's having fun with it. I think it's clear he's having fun with it. Yesterday, by the way, I asked Westbrook about the three center lineup or the three center rotation, which is still outrageous to me. And the fact that it's working is even more outrageous to me. And I asked him about it and what he's kind of what the elements that have been working for them are with those three centers. And he just responded, it's been great. So we're getting Russ back.
Yeah, there's a nice expansive answer. I mean, so look, could we talk about him for a second?
We can talk about whomever you like. Give me is he your element from the 7 out of 8 streak?
Yeah, I mean I think so. I not this game, but the previous game, I tweeted after they won. I tweeted that is anybody else thinking about the fact that the Wizards would arguably have the second and third best players in a series against Philly and Milwaukee, to which you and others, you know, made fun of me or whatever. And obviously, I'm sort of doing that tongue in cheek. Except for this, it's also true. It is an actual. I can't say something is arguable and then say it's a fact. But if Russell Westbrook is like this version, the version that's playing like an all-NBA player, that if this was the version we saw over the course of a season, we would be discussing, is it possible the Wizards could get two players on the all-NBA team? I think it would be no. But, you know, we would be talking in that way. He obviously was not even close to this guy for the first half the year, let's just say, to put a time frame on it. To some degree, and he was hurt and whatever, but you know, he has played like another level. And it's not just that he's clearly physically right, mentally he's playing at a much better, more consistent version of Westbrook. It's, you never question the energy. It's the, can be sort of the decision making and maybe the ego run amok at times that causes problems historically for him. And who's, I'm not going to say that this is, you know, he's now suddenly turned into some other player or whatever, but like by and large, not saying every play, by and large, this has been a more controlled version of him. And to me, that has made the biggest difference. I mean, Beal has been consistently still doing what he does. You know, you just mentioned the center situation. And when he's been healthy, Rui Hachimura has been a better version. Davis Bertans was hitting three last night. You know, maybe it's still not night in, night out, but like whatever. He's been, you know, there's more of that happening. Ish Smith is back. But Westbrook is the reason why. Again, I'm not remotely saying they're going to beat Philly or the Bucks or anybody like that in a playoff series. I understand, like, it'd probably be the Nets would be a whole other story. But I'm just saying, if Westbrook's playing like this and Beal's doing his thing, you at least have to ask the question, what would it take for the Wizards to win the series versus saying, are we serious? Why are we even watching this? They're just going to get lose by 20 points in every game. And I think that is a testament to how Westbrook has turned things around here and what that does to the other things that are already kind of in place.
Yeah, Bertans, you mentioned, by the way, his last he's really been on fire, shooting close to 50% for a little while now. It's been about a month and a half or 2 months or so, but these last seven games especially has been a whole other level. I mean, he's making 4.1 threes a game in his last seven. He's shooting exactly 50%. He has really caught fire in a way that I don't think he has all year. He's hitting those deep threes that he absolutely thrived on last year that just totally bent defenses. He looks like the Davis Bertans that showed up for every game. Well, not every game because he didn't go to the bubble, but every game up until the bubble last year. He looks like that same guy. And that is so important for the Wizards, not just because they paid him $80 million, and not just because, yeah, you get a really good shooter and you get a really good spacer, but because he is the only really good spacer, you know, other than Beal. You know, and Beal's not even hitting his threes at a particularly high rate this year. He's a great spacer in that if he's off the ball, everybody is going to him, but he's not necessarily hitting his threes. And so Bertans cresting over 40% now for the season because he's been so on fire lately, hitting a ton of his threes, dragging defenders all the way out to 32 feet from the rim, them having to worry about him in transition. When he hits a couple of threes, defenses just go crazy trying to make up for it. Him shooting like this and him hitting a couple of threes when he first comes in to just set the tone is really important. When he misses a couple of threes, defenses just don't. I mean, there's a human element to all this. Defenses just don't play him the same way until a guy gets burned on a couple of consecutive possessions. And then he's just like, oh man, this can't happen a third. And now all of a sudden he's strained to ridiculous levels in order to try to defend this guy. And it changes their offense because he's the guy. You know, Neto can make threes, obviously, and he can shoot, but he's kind of, you know, he shoots a league average percentage at a not ridiculously high volume. And you look at the other guys on the roster, I mean, you just wouldn't call any of them three-point shooters. I mean, obviously, other than Beal, who, again, is only at 34% this year, but it's not Westbrook, and it's not Rui, and it's not Denny, and it's not Ish Smith, and it's not Robin Lopez, and it's not Alex Len, and it's not Daniel Gafford. And you go through, and it's like these guys are not three-point shooters. They need Bertans, and he's been killing it lately. It's the new dad theory. He has a kid, and he comes back, he goes 6 for 12. It's the way it always works.
Yes, just like James Naismith drew it up. Peach basket, height, go have a kid, and you'll make shots. That's pretty much how it's all worked out.
That's the Fred VanVleet or the Mike Trout theory. Same thing happened with Mike Trout. Mike Trout had a kid. I forget what his numbers were after, but they were outrageous.
Right, yep. He was terrible before, and then he became right, a good he
was
player.
Mike Trout. Mike Trout was really struggling. He really needed the bump.
Look, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that you know, to the point of how you started this conversation, they have done this exact same streak earlier this season, and then things didn't quite work out. And the question is there reason to believe that this is different? And look, we discussed the schedule is definitely working out in their favor. It doesn't mean they'll win, but it's the opportunities are there. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's like I said, between Westbrook, between Gafford, between, you know, just even other guys, like we're talking about Bertans being a different version of himself compared to where he was in the first half of the year. You know, the Robin Lopez thing, obviously he's been, you know, pretty effective in you know, shooting the ball and just being a solid, you know, presence out on the court and so on. And, you know, again, Rui has been better when he's been healthy. And, yeah, so, I mean, I think – again, to say that this feels more real than the last time is, again, not to say they're going to go into the playoffs and all of a sudden bust the bracket. It's just to say that, you know, this is a better version of what they had. And if this version was the team they had from the start of the year, which obviously they wish they had, you know, we may have had a lot of different conversations about the Wizards this season. But yeah, they're definitely playing better. It's more interesting to watch, which for those of us who are tasked to do that, at least you are, at least tasked, I just subject myself. then yeah, I mean, this is just a more interesting version. And, you know, I will be curious to see what it looks like. You know, it should, in fact, they get to a play-in game and go from there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, this is... Hey, you know what? We spent a podcast, I don't remember which one it was, we spent a podcast scrummaging around at the end of a podcast a couple of weeks ago trying to figure out if we could say a positive thing about the Wizards to end the pod, right? So good vibes today. All positive stuff. Playing well. Good things are happening. They're killing their draft positioning, but they're winning. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a whole other conversation. One, you know, we've discussed to various degrees, and that's, you know, everything I'm saying is not me endorsing that, giving up the potential, you know, the better odds for getting a top five pick in a year when there seems to be five interesting, you know, high-end prospects coming out. But we're here. There's nothing, you know, wishing isn't going to change anything. And, you know, it is what it is. So, they're moving forward, and it's interesting.
Yes, it is interesting. You got anything else that you want to? Oh, hey, I got something. Who's gonna win the scoring title? This is pertinent. You know, we got Wizards Warriors on Wednesday, and Stephen Curry is about 0.3 of a point now above Bradley Beal. Beal is now second in the league in scoring. I feel like the NBA's leading scorer, Bradley Beal, has become a proper noun. He's been the leading scorer for so long, right? Like, he has been the league's leading scorer basically since day one, right off the bat. You know, 5 days into the year, he's the league's leading scorer, and he has not given that up until last night when Curry goes for 49 and Beal goes for a hapless 30, just a disappointing 30-point performance. And Curry passes him and is now 0.3 of a point ahead. I think it's 31.4 to 31.1 or something like that. 31.2 to 30.9. It's something where it's 0.3 of a point, 0.4 of a point where Curry is ahead. They played on Wednesday night in D.C., so let's talk about this for 2 minutes. What is your scoring title prediction?
I mean, look, I'd love to say, just for the fun of it, you know, for the individual accomplishment that Bradley Beal gets it, you know, you become an, I think, didn't we discuss this the other day? Like, would you rather have the scoring title or the all-time leader in triple doubles? Cause Westbrook is on the verge of that. You know, in terms of the scoring title. Yeah. I mean, for the rest of time, it doesn't matter what else happens, but after, it will be listed, this person led the league in scoring in this year. And that list is, you know, people on that list are generally considered to be among the best ever. And there's a certain cachet to that stat, really above all others in the league. So it would be quite the accomplishment for Brad. My concern is, one, Stephen Curry is unbelievable. Two, because you said Stephen Curry, I said Stephen Curry rather than usual Steph Curry, which sounds more normal. three, I mean, boy, not only is he just playing at a really ridiculous level, but like, you know, like there's not anybody else on that team where you're going to really say is going to be getting the points. I mean, Westbrook doesn't necessarily score 30 a game, but obviously he's going to have the ball a lot and take shots and he will produce points. So I don't know if there's anybody else right now in Golden State who you would even say is going to challenge Curry for points. And also, like, look, he's doing this. I mean, look, he just went for 49 against Philly. I mean, it's not like Philly is chump change. They're the one seed in the East. So it just feels like Curry is gonna get it based on where things are headed right now. But, you know, look, Bradley Beal's been consistently good. His scoring numbers are a bit down from where they were earlier in the year when he didn't have any help, you know, or at least not as much as he has now, which is a good thing for the Wizards, probably a bad thing for his chances of winning the scoring title.
Yeah, I agree with you. Curry's too hot. Beal's a great player. Curry changed the game.
And I will just also say this, like to sort of tie it into sort of like conversations earlier on, like going back to even last year, like one of my frustrations when we talked about the All-NBA is like how people were framing Beal stinks on defense. You know, or people in, you know, in my own life talk about he's too much of a selfish player. And I just always said, look, this isn't ridiculous. All these things are ridiculous. He's looking at the situation and seeing I'm playing with a lousy defensive team. It makes no sense to apply myself to the degree I did in previous years defensively when we're not going to be able to stop anybody. So I'm going to go all in on offense. Simultaneously, he had no help last year, realistically. Bertans was obviously a great three-point shooter, but not a guy who was creating his own shot. It was pretty much all on Beal. And it was pretty much all on Beal for a good chunk of this year because Westbrook wasn't right, Bertans wasn't right, and so on. It's different now. Now he has more people. We're seeing a better two-way version of Beal, and we're seeing a guy who doesn't feel compelled to take every shot. He said this as much last night after the postgame, and I don't think it's lip service, which is all of this is not great for his chances of going to the scoring title, but I don't see him as a guy who's going to start jacking up 35 shots a game. Now, if we get to the last three games of the season, the Wizards have fallen out of this play-in somehow, well, they'll go nuts. But up until that point, I think for him, the goal, I think, is to make the play-in game, misguided or not. I don't think he's going to start chucking the ball crazily the way you would probably need to catch Curry.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what Curry is doing. He's up to 31.4 points a game right now. Just, I mean, the last like 11 games is just, it's just complete and utter insanity, especially so these last even six games. He is making 9 threes a game and averaging 44 points a game. He's making 9 threes a game. He is on average shooting 9 for 16 from 3 over over a 6-game span. It is outrageous. He's hit 8 threes, 10 threes, 11 threes, 4 threes, 11 threes, 10 threes. Those are his last 6 games. This is completely and utterly insane. It is an unprecedented stretch, even by Steph Curry standards, as you would say, Steph Curry. I just, when an all-time player is playing at an all-time level, it's just, there's nothing like it. So it will be a fun one for fans to come back to the arena for, I'll tell you that. Anyway, Ben, I know you have an out. Check out Ben's coverage of the football team and his occasional coverage of the Wizards over at The Athletic DC. You can subscribe to Wizards After Dark, tell your friends about the podcast, leave a review, whatever else, the written reviews help a lot more than the 5 stars. If you want to go out of your way to write one of those, if you love the podcast, subscribe to The Athletic. Like I said, theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark gets you a full subscription to the pod. I'm going to record a podcast later this week talking more Wizards stuff. I'll talk to you guys then.